Are y'all blessed?
Yeah.
Happy Father's Day. I don't know if that's been said enough yet. God is good. I got tapped to preach, so hallelujah. I always have a word. I always wonder if I could stretch it out, but I always have a word. God always gives me gifts, and I always want to share them. He is my, I have a great dad, but he is my perfect father. Just recently, I mean, I know last week I shared that my truck was broken into and all my tools were stolen. And it's funny because I thought, you know, I'm going to trust God. God is good. The Bible tells you to love those people. I thought, that's great. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking the insurance is going to pay for it. It's no big deal. Well, the insurance is not going to pay for it. So that puts me to the test. Okay, God, do I really believe what your word says? Do I really believe? It says not only to forgive that guy, if it was a guy, it was dark, but to bless him, to pray for him. And it was awesome this week. So I said, okay, God, I guess here's the road. And I just started praying for that guy. I said, Lord, bless that man. I said, bless him so much that he never has to steal again. I said, just, you know, give him whatever he needs so that he doesn't have to do that anymore. And it was awesome because it was, you know, it's truly, it's weird because when you go through that, you know, go through all the emotions, you're like, as a Christian, this is the way I think. But as a human, this is the way I think. And you fight with, you know, your spirit and your flesh are fighting over what to do over that situation. And you go, God, I know your word is true, and I'm going to stand on that word. And then every once in a while, your flesh sneaks in and says, yeah, but that guy was a jerk. But you say, but no, I love that guy. I don't even know who he is, but I love him, and I'm praying for him. I'm going to pray real quick. Lord, thank you for today. And thank you that it's Father's Day, and thank you that it's just a symbol of fathers are a symbol of you. You are our Heavenly Father, and you love us. And the Bible says we love to give good gifts to our children. How much more does the Father in heaven love to give good gifts to us? So thank you, Father, for today, and let your word be spoken. Last time I taught on trust. And, you know, it leads a lot to faith. We've been going through a lot of stuff lately. Our life's just been turned upside down. And some of you know why. It's crazy. In December, I will be a father. So, that's true. Yes, yeah. But, you know, it makes you start to think about life differently. All of a sudden, just little things that you would let slip by, you think, it's no big deal. And you think, I'm going to be a father now. And, you know, I got to get rid of all my sins because this kid is going to look up to me and I can't have any sins in my life, even just some not so bad ones, you know. Start thinking of all the things, okay, should we keep that movie or should we throw that movie out? You know, you just start going through all sorts of stuff. But it's awesome because God has been teaching me to, I'm already a pretty relaxed person, but he's teaching me to be completely relaxed in him and trust him because he's weird. He's like other gods are normal. You pray to him and then you go to wherever you go at the end. But our God, he just does odd things. He'll be like, I want you to go do this. I'll go, God, that doesn't seem wise. He'll go, I want you to do it anyway. And you go, okay, that seems really foolish in my mind. And you do it, and then it comes out, and it's this blessing. And you're like, I should have just trusted you from the get-go. And he's been showing me over and over and over again, you know, I want you to, like this coming week, I'm going to that camp again. It's not wisdom. I should be going and working all this week. I'm about to have a baby in a couple of months. I shouldn't be going to camp and wasting an entire week. But I'm going to. I felt like God said, I want you to go. And I'm just you know, because he said, don't worry about, it was funny because on Friday night, we have our Bible study every Friday night, and that was actually the passage we came, was don't worry, you know, the doves, don't worry, and the flowers, you know, how much are the flowers clothed, so why are you worried about food and money? So it looks, you know, it doesn't look like it should, but that's okay because I'm going to take care of it. And you never know how God is going to provide for you, because we always thinking, oh, I have to work and God will provide, or I have to do this and God will provide. But God said, I'm God. I can do whatever I want. He told Gideon, hey, I need you to go attack these guys. And by the way, I'm getting rid of like 80% of your army. Here's 300 guys, and I want you to go attack this army. That's not rational. Why would you do that? But we have God. So God can do it any way and however he wants. And usually it's so that he gets it's always so that he gets the glory, because it always looks ridiculous. And when it happens, you're like, that was God. There's no way that wasn't God. So it's just been fun, because lately I've been, you know, Mary's had all these problems with her teeth and things like that, and it's really stretched my faith, because I'll be like, God, how do you want me to pray? God, you know, because Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father in heaven doing. And you think, well, how do I see what you're doing in heaven? You're going to have to show me. And so I go, God, you know, how do you want me to pray? I believe with all my heart, because Jesus said, with a grain of mustard seed, you can move a mountain. I thought, well, God, I have a whole jar of mustard seed. Why is this mountain not moving? You know, but, you know, God said, you know, I know what your needs are. I know, you know, everything, and I'm going to take care of it. And it's all going to work out. And it doesn't often work out the way we want it to work out, but it's always better when it does work out. It always works out perfectly. It's fun when you can read the word and then you can read it again a month or two later and you get something completely different out of it. And it's like, but that was the same scripture. Or even I'll be preparing for Bible study on Friday nights and I'll read it that morning. I'm like, wow, that is so powerful. And then I'll come that later that night and I'll read it again. I'm like, I know that was powerful, but I can't remember why. So it's like God just, he'll put something in, he'll share it to you, and it'll be just for that moment. And that's the way God is. It's just for that moment. And because God is new every, you know, it's every day he's the same, but he's always renewing, you know, who he is to you. And you see it in different ways. Sometimes it's spiritual. Sometimes it's practical. And I think God is very practical. We've been going through Matthew, and we're about to get into the part where Jesus, you know, argues with the Pharisees and with the Sadducees, and he's just so funny to me, and you read it, and you're just like, wow, God, I want that kind of wisdom, so that when someone comes up against me, you just say two or three words, and they're dumbfounded, and it's like, wow, that was just awesome. So, I mean, it was fun. I remember hearing on the radio one time, there was a guy talking about when the Pharisees wanted to stone the lady. And Jesus, you know, said, you know, he who hath sin in him cast the first stone. Well, the problem was, if he had said, she didn't sin, well, that's a problem. And then if he went the other direction and said, so there was the Mosaic law, which said, you know, you're not supposed to sin. And then there's the grace law, which says, you know, you're forgiven. And he couldn't do either of those, because whichever way he said it, it was going to be wrong. So he said, okay, so who hasn't sinned? You cast the first stone. So he totally took it off of himself and put it right on those guys. And they had to, and they were like, well, we don't have an answer for that. So, because if we answer, then we'll be wrong. And they had to just walk away. And that's just God's love, just protecting us. And I think God does that for us. He gives us wisdom in time of need like that. And we can just say the right thing. And you think, where did that come from? And it's just, it's powerful, because he loves us that much. And I tell my young adults every Friday night, I'm sure they're tired of me saying it, but it's always about relationship. When you read the Bible, people make a religion out of it, and it's not a religion, it's a relationship. You know, it's all about, you know, what God wants to, you know, show you. And he just, I told them that it's like, there's two of them there that have been best friends for an eternity, for their entire life. I think they've been best friends. And I said, that's the way God wants to be with you. God, you and God can finish each other's sentences and you know what they're thinking. And when you spend more and more time with God, then that's what comes out. You hear him. And you hear him for silly things. You're like, you know, God, should I have chocolate milk or white milk today? You know, I mean, that's really silly. But, you know, I mean, you hear him for silly stuff like that. And you'd have no idea if you drank the chocolate milk, maybe your stomach would get upset. And so he was giving you wisdom. And it's just his example of what a father should be is precious. And that's what I want to be in the future. And it's really, it's exciting. Several months ago, Mary and I started going to this doctor, and he was going to help us, you know, start a family. We'd start going, and some things went wrong. And he's like, well, we've got to stop all these treatments. We've just got to stop them. You know, when things normalize, we'll come back. And so we were going through all these emotions of you know, should we just quit or should we keep trying or what do we do? And then Mary's, you know, all of her dental things were going on, and we're like, God, where are you in all of this? And it was just up in the air. And at about 30 days, Mary took a test and nothing happened. So we're like, okay, you know, whatever. And at about 50 days, I said, Mary, this is weird. You should be, you know, whatever. Things should go back to normal by now, and nothing happened. So she said, no, I'm not pregnant. And at 55 days, she had gone to the chiropractor, and the chiropractor said, you should really go to your doctor. And so the next morning, she got up at 6:30 in the morning, and she took a test. She thought, well, I got to do my due diligence, so if I'm going to go see the doctor. And she looked at the test and she said, the line's in the wrong place. And so she took another one and she goes, the line is still in the wrong place. She just wanted to go back to sleep. And then it dawned on her, and so she comes and she wakes me up and she said, I hate to wake you up, but I just need to tell you that I'm pregnant. And I was like, you don't have to worry about that. That's awesome. I jumped up and gave her a hug. Well, we called the doctor, and they said, well, come in immediately. So we drove over to Dallas to see the doctor, and we go in to see him, and he's just stunned. He's like, you know, so Mary thanked him for the birth control that he put her on. Said it didn't work very well. But it was awesome because he wrote a bunch of paperwork for us to go to see this other doctor, and it was a, you know, normally he would say, you know, we did this and did this and she got pregnant, but it was like, it was just miraculous. It was like it just happened on its own, and he was dumbfounded and we were overjoyed. I'll go all the way back to the funny part is when we started seeing him, we went in and we didn't think we had a chance at all. And he started talking to us. And he's like, well, you know, here's where you're at, and here's what's going on. You have probably between a 5 and a 10% chance to get pregnant. And we both got these huge grins on our face, and we're like, so you're saying there's a chance? And he just was not expecting that at all. So, I mean, and that's God. I've it's hard because, you know, for so many years we hadn't gotten pregnant, and I just felt God kept telling me, don't worry about it, it's going to happen. You just, in the right time, it'll happen, just be at peace. And I'd go through that, because Mary, you know, it was hard on Mary, and man, it was hard on me, because when she's not, you know, when she is having a hard time of it, I have a hard time of it. Because, you know, when you get married, you become one, and I'd wrestle with God. I go, and he'd remind me again, don't worry about it. I'll take care of that. It'll happen when it's ready, when it's time. And so it was just awesome that he keeps his word. And You don't have to worry about your finances. You don't have to worry about your clothing, what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. The love of the Father is just, it's overwhelming. And the funny thing is you can fight with him, and you can not trust him and everything, and it's still there, and it just covers you. Because I've seen that in my own life, where he just puts these things in my way that, or actually, I probably put them in my way because of the choices that I made, when I get into it, I'll just say, God, I can't handle this. I need you to take care of it. And when my heart and my spirit truly accept that, just ultimate peace comes over me. Because then I just go, I'm leaving it in your hands, because there's no way I can take care of this. And then on the converse is when I say it, but then I don't believe it, then I sit around all night and worry about it. And the funny thing is whichever one I do, it always comes out right. So it's better to do the one where you just trust him and you let it go, because then you don't waste all that time worrying. It takes a lot of energy. And it was funny, because just even when I get up here and I teach, I never want it to be me. And I start to worry about that, and God will say, don't worry about it. I'll speak through you. And I'll go, okay, I'm pretty loud, God. You're going to have to really speak well. So, I think, you know, I mean, people, you always say, what's your gift? And I would say, I always wanted my gift to be to make people laugh, or to, because I like it when people are happy, and I think God loves it when people are happy, because that's just what kind of dad he is. You know, a dad wants his kids to be at peace and happy and enjoy this world. I mean, he created this world for us, every bit of it, the trees and the flowers and the mountains and the other people, and, you know, it gives men wisdom to build things to make our life easier or harder. But it's just awesome to know him. And every day he shares something new with you, even when you're not expecting it. Because sometimes, you know, I'll get up and I'll have to get ready and go to work, or I'll waste time on my tablet doing stupid things when I should be spending time with him. And then he'll use something ridiculous to bring me back to him, and I go, oh yeah. There's this fellow that's working, he sometimes sits here, his name is Chad, he's been working with me doing remodeling, and it's been a blessing because we just spit scripture back and forth to each other. He knows it way better than I do. I mean, I know scripture. I could say, there's this verse in the Bible, and he'll go, I know this verse in the Bible, and it's thus and so. And I'm like, how did you know the reference? And he goes, well, I spent 3 years reading the Bible while I was in prison. I'm like, oh, that's where it is. I need to go to prison. Then you don't have anything else to do but read the Bible. So, it was interesting. Ian shared something about iron, sharpening iron. And he had this vision, and it was awesome. And do you want to share it, or do you want me to go ahead and share it? Anyway, it was these two men they were kind of comrades in arms, and they were fighting. And as they were fighting, they were kind of practicing. Their iron was sharpening the iron. And then he mentioned that in the end, you know, because we're supposed to be without spot and wrinkle. Well, then the sword became, was it so hot that he was able to iron? Sure.
Okay. I'm kind of getting put on the spot here. It was two men standing on a hill wearing white robes with a rope sash. And God say, these are like my children. You know, these men were just dirty wearing robes. I'm going to rush through this kind of, sorry. But as they began to speak to each other, a sword handle appeared in each one of their mouths, and they pulled it out. Instead of being a sword, it was long, raw iron. And as they began to go back and forth, the image of Christ began to move in between each said, but their robes are still murky. And he said, don't worry, that's my blood that's going to wash that. And the thing is back there this whole time, when you kept asking one more testimony, I was biting my lip, and I'm glad you brought this up. Because what I spoke to you this morning there about the love that we have to have is almost verbatim what you said. And then when you got up and said about your father on the way here, I told her I needed to call my dad. Forgive him for everything he did. And while sitting here the whole time you're talking, he told me to open my Bible to do Joel. And the end times I'll pour my spirit out upon all flesh. And it keeps repeating in my head. All flesh. That means everyone. But it says your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. I just had an image in my head while you were speaking. The reason that all he's pouring out on everyone is for his sons and daughters. I just got this image of us having to explain to those who don't understand while we're prophesying what he said, what he's saying. To explain to them that spirit being poured onto them. And winning over more. Bringing in more. And I'm going to stop. Sorry.
It's awesome testimony. So this fellow Chad and I, and we just, for everything we talk about, there's always a scripture, and it's awesome that you can go into the Bible and there's an answer for everything you come across. And he didn't leave us without any, you know, because he told us everything we needed to know to live in this world and to get us kind of a taste for what's coming. Because you think about heaven, you think, what's heaven going to be like? Because we're going to be there forever. I hope it's interesting. Because forever is a long time. But I mean, if this world is interesting, and it is, because you think, man, the time I have on here is not long enough to learn everything. There's always, you'll ask my wife how many hobbies I have. I have so much interest in so many things, music and woodworking and just, and then I'm always wanting to learn. And I think, you know, if we got heaven, we're going to have forever to learn all the things that God wants to do. But the iron sharpening iron is awesome. It's such a blessing to have someone like that to talk to and just always be going into the scripture. But you know, God is that same way. If you don't have someone, God will be that one for you. You know, he said to hide that word in your heart so that you wouldn't sin against him. And it's not a bad thing. It's just like, again, it's practical. God is practical. He gives you something and it's like a parent, and a parent tells you not to go out in the street. Don't go out in the street. And you think, well, I want to go out in the street. There's a lot of fun out there in the street, you know, whatever, because the other kids are riding down the street. But the parent knows, don't go out in the street because you might get hit by a car, you know. And God's the same way when he tells you something. You don't do this, and he's not doing it because he's trying to be mean or trying to keep you from having fun. He's doing it because he has way more wisdom than we do. He sees the future, and he knows, you know, beginning from the end. So he knows what's best to us. And that, it's funny because when the young adults came to me and asked, hey, can we start a young adults Bible study, which is what I always wanted to do. When I started youth, I wanted it to be a Bible study, but those kids were pretty much into just having fun. So we ended up having a lot of fun. So when they came, it's awesome because I know what my dad has taught me. And I was talking to Mary about this the other night, how I can build on my father has grown up to a certain point, and then I can stand on his shoulders and keep growing. I don't have to start over from the very beginning. You know, some people, their parents weren't believers or whatever, and they had to start from the very beginning. I get to stand on what my dad learned, and so I want my young adults to be the same way. They can stand on my shoulders, and they don't have to make the same silly mistakes that I did, and I can help them understand God so that they can not worry. Because I mean, I think so many people worry nowadays, and so many people have strife, and they waver on so many things that they can just be totally focused on God, and then all the decisions they make in life will just be easy because they're trusting God. Even if you make bad decisions, God can still turn it to good. I mean, even when that, I don't know how God's going to bless me out of that man stealing all my tools, but I know God's going to bless me out of that man stealing all my tools. It's just because that's the way God is. He said, you know, whatever the devil takes from you, I'll return to you sevenfold. So I don't have to worry about it, you know. Because my own mind would go, well, you know, that guy was wrong, and now he's hurt me monetarily and stole all my time that I have to waste with the insurance company, and it, every time I go to use a tool, and then I remember it was in the bag, and then I have to go to Home Depot and buy it again. But God can, he gives me back the time as well. It even says that in the Bible. He's going to give me back all that time that was wasted, and I waste enough time on my own, so... if you take anything away from today, it's just that God wants you to relax and be in Him and just have a relationship with Him and just get to know Him. Because that's why He created us and that's why He gave us free will. He gave us free will to choose Him or not choose Him. And He created you from the beginning of time, and He knows every hair on your head and every freckle on your face and the weird things that are on places in your body you wish weren't there. You know, He made you perfect just the way you are. He knew all the people you were going to come in contact with and how your life was going to shape out. And it's awesome to see that. I mean, now that I'm 42, I'll be 43 this year. You can look back and you can see all the times that God has directed your path to a certain way, and the people you've come in contact with, and the things you've learned, and the things you're able to do, and what you're able to share. And, you know, it just didn't happen. It was directed. You know, I mean, God loves us that much. You know, He puts us in His yoke, and He said, "All right, you take my yoke. It's easy, and I'll take your yoke." It was funny, I used this analogy the other night for the younger kids. I said it's like a video game, and God is playing it, and He's already beat the game, and then He hands you His controller, and then He takes yours, and you're like on stage one, and that's how God's yoke is. It's like, you've already won. God said, "I've already won. Here's my winning token, and I'll take yours, and I'll do it all for you." So, and it's such a blessing to know that you can go through this life and not be burdened down and just be blessed by the Father. So I'm gonna close in prayer, and my dad will probably say a few words. Lord, thank You for this day, and thank You for all the fathers in this room, and thank You for Your hand in their life, and thank You for Your desire for them to be strong fathers, and to have You be their Father, and them to be an image of You to their children. And thank You, Father, for just blessing each and every one with peace and with joy and with an excitement for the future. We don't worry about tomorrow. We'll just enjoy being with You today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Your will that's in heaven, where everything is done according to His will. There's no laws in heaven, none. No laws in heaven. There's only the law of liberty. You may freely eat of all the trees of the Garden of Eden. There's nothing forbidden. So when we go to heaven, He wants that will to be done on earth just exactly as it is in heaven, which means you don't do it. He does it. Because He is your life. And all He did when coming on earth was to manifest the Father's love. That's all He did. He never said His own words. He never did His own deeds. He never wanted anything for His own account. He said, "I came in My Father's name." So the Father who art in heaven, that one. He is actually on earth because God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. In other words, you didn't do that. You can't do that. It's not even possible to do that. So whatever God has done is to let you know that His will, His pleasure, will be done on earth, not by you. So your faith isn't active in love. That's what it says. It actually means this, and that's what it really means, is my faith in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of the living God, my faith in Him, in other words, the written word tells me faith is active in love, but it isn't your faith that it's active. It's my faith in Jesus, and He's the one active in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and so on. So all of that fruit, you didn't do anything. You didn't do one thing. So God does it on purpose, deliberately, to glorify Himself. So actually, Jesus didn't glorify God. He glorified God by not glorifying Himself, but by glorifying the God, letting God show through Him to others. And that's how you love your neighbor as yourself. You just share God, and that's what they need. Now, no one knows that. No human being knows that what I need is to have my sins forgiven, my sins, all my unrighteousness removed, and me being perfected in Jesus. Nobody wants that, but that's exactly what you want. That's exactly what you want. You want what you don't think you want. You want pleasure on this earth. You want, physical pleasure, emotional pleasure, psychological pleasure, all kinds of pleasures. But the love of this world is not going to make it. That's why He exalts His word above His name. So, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Holy is Your name. In other words, you're unique. There's no one else like You. You're the only one that's God. Hallowed be Thy name, meaning holy. Your name is righteous. Your name is truth. Your name is everything. Everything on earth passes away. That's why He says, my word will never pass away. It can't. It's an unseen thing. Everything on earth passes away. Everything on earth, including people, pass away. Except, unless, as the written word says, you do it by faith. Unless you have faith that Jesus is your life, not just that He's holy and you're not, but that He's holy for you, in you, through you. So that's the Father. The Father loves His sons. And you're all sons of God, whether you know it or not. Women are sons of God. You're all sons of God, meaning children of the Father. And men are also bride of Christ. So we both get cheated on that. So there's no difference. Did you know in heaven you won't marry? There's no marriage. You just be like the angels. There's no marriage. So heaven is not what you think it is. It's actually weird, strange, but it's wonderful. Because what you do now is by faith, you don't see it. But Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So as it is in heaven, it has to be done on earth. Otherwise, earth is not earth. That will be the new heaven and the new earth. When Jesus comes back again, you'll see Him as He is. You'll see Him as He is. And he wants only good, and only grace, and only mercy, and only all things wonderful. So therefore, you could be happy right now. All you have to do is, based on the word, just make a decision. I want to be happy from now on. From this day forward, I'm going to reap what Jesus sowed. Whatever He sowed, that's me. That isn't a goal for me. It's actually totally an accomplishment. So you're a Christian just by faith, but someday you'll see Him. You'll see Him. And so you'll actually have heaven on earth because Jesus will be filling heaven and earth together. So I teach weird things because the Bible is weird. But it's not. It's actually the only truth there is. Everything else is a lie. And Jesus, by the way, was never understood by anybody at any time, ever. And He knew that. One time He said something, blah, blah, and then they said, oh, now we understand. He said, do you? Do you really? It's like nobody. So the most misunderstood on earth is Jesus. Totally can't believe he could be both Son of Man and Son of God and all this. But actually, he is our life. And it's totally like David just said, totally our joy. That's why I'm happy all the time. We had a contest this week on Friday, your birthday, and I lost. And so that was fun. But I did come in second. And actually, we worked it out ahead of time that whoever comes in third will say, all my voters add to the second guy and we'll beat the first guy. And actually, that happened. But the third guy didn't say that. And he was supposed, we agreed on the phone many times, we talk about this. Now, if I'm third and you're second, I'll give you all my votes. I'll just stand up and say, I lost, and I'm giving all my votes to so-and-so. And you'll beat the first guy, which we both wanted to beat. So it didn't work out. And so after it was all through, I rejoiced. And, thank you, Jesus. It's good to lose. Because we've already won. How many know you can't lose if you've already won? You can't lose if you've already won. It's impossible. Anyway, this guy walked up to me, never talked to him, but he is the most articulate speaker. Whenever he talks, everyone looks forward to this guy teaching. And so he walked right up to me. He's one you don't approach because he's kind of the hero, you know, of the whole House of Representatives. And so he walked up to me and said, I admire you. Really? I don't even, you know, I've never talked to you. How do you even know me? He said, you're like a father. And I hold you in high eminence. And I said, well, you know, I know he said he's a Christian, but I didn't see him doing a lot of Christian things. And the reason he came up to me was because I lost. And he happened to be in the room. And he is the most aggressive person in the House of Representatives. So he walked up and said, you know, in all the speaking I've done, I never get any of my things passed. So I'm a loser, just like you. Which was a compliment. And so I said to him, well, you have virtue because you're a Christian. He said, yeah, but I'm not always virtuous. I said, well, that's forgivable. And he said, yeah, you're right. But then the Lord had me say to him, I want to meet you again, not just today. I want to meet you again. And so I will. But it's amazing that you can accomplish things without accomplishing things. That's how God does it. He accomplishes everything he wants to accomplish without us. But we're real. But we're real because we don't do anything. We're real because he does everything for us, in us, through us. To God be the glory. That's your Father who is in heaven. And his kingdom will come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the Father's will is that we have heaven on earth, and you'll have it. You don't see it today, you'll see it soon. And he's getting us everything ready. First coming, he was Lamb of God, takes away the sins of the world. Second come, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Those two comings represent the priest-king. Started out as a priest, ended up as a king. Why? Because he was always a king. He was a king that proved himself worthy by being a priest. In other words, priests use mercy to forgive you for your sins. Kings don't. Kings lord you when you're perfect. So the priest makes you perfect so that the king can lord over you and say, don't do anything, I'll do everything. So the King of Kings is actually, we're the king small k that he's king over. He's capital K and we're the little k. He's Lord and you're the little l, Lord. So you're the Lord and you're going to be a priest king in heaven. Amen. That means you will be both the, you'll have a new heart and a new soul and a new body the minute he appears. The minute he appears, you have the new heart right now. Your heart now believes that everything God has ever said and done was all for you. And now, what that produces in you is happiness. When God says, I love you, he can't ever forsake you. He can never leave you. I will not. So he wrote that on your heart. So that holiness always produces, that happiness always produces holiness. So if you're happy all the time, as I am, and obviously David is, and that's a powerful thing because you can't be holy unless you're happy. So happiness is totally what God wants you to have so you can be holy because it's him doing it. He is the holiness. He is your righteousness. He is your joy. He is your peace. He is your patience. He is your everything you wanted, everything you desired. And you may not know that. You may not know that. One day God asked me the question, are you happy? Sure. I get to sin all I want and you forgive me. And then I go to heaven. So I got two heavens, one here and one there. And that's cool. I'm happy. Then I wondered, why'd you ask me that question? Are you happy? And then I realized, he didn't answer, but I realized, huh. So immediately he said, what would you like? What would make you happy? I said, I don't know. I guess I have everything. I mean, I have your forgiveness for doing all my sinning, and I also have your promise just by faith, and I don't have to do anything. It's like, wow, that's good. He said, well, what would make you happy? I said, I don't know. You know. You know. And he said, this was almost on 820 moving west. And he said, what do you want written on your tombstone? I've shared this before, but I said, he's a Christian pastor, but not very good. That's all I could think of is not very good, because I've preached him stuff and it's not that effective, but I enjoyed it, but I it was nothing. And I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but anyway. And so I said, that's not the right answer. I mean, I should have had something else. Immediately, it came into my spirit. Immediately. Oh, I know what I want. I want to be like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and King David and Jesus and, you know, Wesley and so on and so forth and Luther and so on. That's what I want to be. I don't want to go to heaven. I don't want anything written on my tombstone until I've done the will of God. I didn't even know I wanted that. That has never been a thought in my mind, that I'd want to be the most holy person on earth. I never thought of holiness. That was really far from me. Happy? Yes, because he forgave me for all my rottenness. But that changed my whole life around, because I don't know, it just like, wow. If that's really your goal, it is. I never do that. Maybe this word works. Maybe it's doing something. So I began to love my parents and witnessed everybody. I had three fathers, witnessed all three of them, and just began to call my cousin and my sister and so on and so forth. And I realized, wow, I'm a lover. I've never been a lover. I always loved myself, but I didn't love anybody else. I used them. People were objects for my pleasure. Y'all understand what I mean? So when I got married, you know, this Peggy just, you know, she's real docile and, you know, submissive and so on and so forth. So perfect wife. You know, perfect wife, she'll just do everything I say. Well, she really wasn't into that. But it took about 20 years for her to speak up. I always said, now Peg, just, you know, if something's not right, just speak up and say something. Well, she wouldn't, because her parents always argued, and she said, when I get married, I'm just gonna do whatever my husband says, and I'll just, you know, be submitted to him, and so on. But it was purely external, it wasn't internal. She didn't really like me. She didn't really love me. She's not really, you know, tickled pink to be married to me. And I thought I would be great. I thought I'd be an awesome person. But God has to remake us in His image. Yes. He has to restructure us. He has to transform us that we're like Him. And so I began to realize, as Christ loved the church, so every man love his wife. Wow. If I'm not doing that, God, I need to do that. How can you be a leader in the church if you don't rule your own house? I've not been good. From now on, I determine now I'm going to be Christ for my wife. I'll start out with Christ. Christ in me loves everybody. But I'll start with my wife. Well, that's kind of bogged me down. I haven't even gotten around to other people, but I love my wife with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength. Totally. So she's my first neighbor. She's the one I love. And I've been happy ever since. That was an unjoyful thing, but not because of he was a good pastor, Christian, but no good. Now I've changed that. I'm awesome. Why? Because it's just Jesus. It's just Jesus. And that is amazing. I don't have to see it to believe it. I have to believe it to see it. Amen? Amen? So, anyone have a testimony? You can just make it up. David.